Welcome, everybody, to Solomon on Blast here on Power Talk 1210, where you have the power to think for yourself. But if you're having a hard time thinking for yourself, then maybe the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of Solomon is just what you need to help you overcome the confused culture that seems to be so prevalent in our society today. Fred is out this week, but we do have a special guest sitting in for him today, and I think you'll find the discussion fitting for the confusion in our culture surrounding Christmas, the whole holiday, and everything along with it. I think a lot of that confusion comes from the fact that we live in a culture that is driven in large part by what is seen on TV and in the theaters. We live in an entertainment-driven culture. If you don't believe me, just look at the box office numbers for the new Star Wars movie. Article last night in The Inquisitor said, there's no doubt that Star Wars, The Force Awakens, will smash records at movie theaters in the U.S. However, it won't exactly top the box office this weekend. Disney announced they've already raked in $57 million Thursday night in both U.S. and Canada. Other early estimates hinted that it has already raked in $130 million globally since the film already hit theaters as early as Wednesday in some countries. In addition, The Force Awakens has already broken ticket pre-sale records. VP of distributing at Disney released a statement about the film breaking records well ahead of its release. We're obviously very encouraged by the record-breaking pre-sales of the movie. Online ticket service Fandango also announced that it sold more tickets for The Force Awakens than any other film ever. Disney announced there's still plenty of tickets, so in case anybody was worried about not being able to see it, I doubt that's going to happen. Star Wars The Force Awakens is one of the most popular and highly anticipated films of 2015. The latest Star Wars movie is the first under the ownership of Walt Disney. Goldman Sachs predict the film will rake in $1.95 billion globally, including $750 million from the U.S. and $1.2 billion from the international box offices. Disney will also make some serious money off the Star Wars brand. Merchandise is expected to rake in as much as $3 billion globally, which means $300 million in licensing revenue for Disney. According to USA Today, Disney gets to keep 80 cents of every dollar in revenue, right down to $240 million in profit for Disney's bottom line. Some of those fans that have gone to movies already wore their Star Wars merchandise and costumes to the opening night of The Force Awakens on Thursday night. According to CNBC News report, Kelly Andrews wore her love for the franchise in the form of Yoda and R2-D2 tattoos. Now, I'm assuming those were permanent tattoos. Doesn't really say, but she's got tattoos. Says she purchased tickets for The Force Awakens back in October for the movie from the Chinese theater where the original Star Wars movie premiered back in 1977. Andrews was very pleased with the latest Star Wars installment. Her comment, "It was outstanding. I cried happy tears. I cried sad tears. It was beautiful." Okay. Now, if you haven't figured it out, Kelly, and this may come as a little bit of a shock to you, it's not real. It's fiction. There is no truth to the movie, just like most of the TV programs and movies don't have a lot of truth in them, which means in most cases, there isn't a lot of wisdom in them either. But in spite of that, they do have the ability to influence people's belief systems and their view of the world. The question is, why is that? Why do people get so wrapped up in something that isn't real? Maybe it's because people like the story, and more than that, they like to keep hearing and seeing the story. But Solomon tells us in Proverbs 8:11, "For wisdom is better than precious stones, and all pleasures, i.e. entertainment, cannot be compared to it." So all the entertainment from the Star Wars movie can't even begin to compare to the wisdom Solomon's talking about. He says in Proverbs 2:10, "When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." Maybe it's just because there's really nothing new under the sun here. A little rewriting of Solomon's words, and it sounds a lot like Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, and the Force and the dark side. Maybe it's the fact that Star Wars is really just a remake of the greatest story ever told, and that's what keeps people coming back. Anybody want to guess what that story is? The greatest one ever told? Jesus spoke to them saying again, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The real Savior sent to save the world. The Christmas story. That's the real story. Not the story designed to make a lot of money for George Lucas and now Disney. So we'll come back with our special guest to talk more about the real Christmas story. So don't go away. It's not all about the money.
Been an awful good girl, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
What's going on here?
The Herald Angels Sing from the classic Charlie Brown, A Christmas Story. Now, we have a different Herald with us this morning. Not Hark the Herald.
Different spelling.
And a different spelling on it. Special guest this morning, Pastor Harold Warner, senior pastor at the Dorf Church here in Tucson. And we usually have, we've kind of made it a tradition that you show up on Christmas and Easter.
Christmas, Easter, or any, you know, pressing topic that you've been gracious enough to give me an audience
and a platform for.
Yeah.
But we figure at the minimum Christmas and Easter. That way you're kind of like a lot of the churchgoers out there. They only show up to church on Christmas and Easter.
That's right.
So we're kind of trying to get people to remember that it's more than just those 2 days, but it's good to have you here. You know, I brought in that little clip from Charlie Brown's Christmas, and the reason is that this year it's 50 years since that episode actually initially aired in 1965, and there's a little bit of a sentimental value to it because when I was in fifth grade, 1971, I actually played Charlie Brown in the Charlie Brown Christmas Story in our fifth grade play. So
epic.
Oh yeah. After that, I don't think I ever did another play up until the point when I came to the church and started participating in it. So I think, I don't know whether it traumatized me or what, but I pretty much maybe realized that that wasn't going to be my forte in life at that point in time anyways, at least in fifth grade. And yeah, there was a lot of controversy surrounding that show when it aired back in 1965, and it's not really, things like Solomon says, don't really, there's not a whole lot new under the sun, because we see a lot of controversy today regarding the Christmas story and everything associated with it. I see you have your red Christmas cup, or your red cup, there I guess, is. I can't even say Christmas, from Starbucks, and there's been a pretty big hoopla regarding Starbucks coming out with just a red Christmas cup. At least one person seemed to have thought it was a pretty big deal, and his video went viral, and it garnered a lot of attention. So is that really the kind of thing that we as Christians should be so worried about?
Well, Doug, people are notorious for dying on the wrong battlefield and for majoring on minors. There are a lot more critical issues than Starbucks coffee cups. When I first heard the story, I basically dismissed it as majoring on minors. They're in business to sell coffee.
Absolutely.
And so whether it's a red cup, a blue cup, or a pink cup, I don't go there to hear the gospel preached. I go there just to buy a cup of coffee.
And I think that was kind of the response from Starbucks themselves was, hey, we're serving a wide variety of people all across the world. But, and I guess it was one particular person that, like I said, put a YouTube video out there that seemed to have really created the controversy and pointed out that Starbucks was effectively anti-Jesus with the fact that they didn't put anything on their cup this year. But they've never been a Christian business, and they don't promote themselves as such. And in the past, their cups haven't always had anything religious on them either. There are a lot of Christmas-related stuff. So it did seem like it was much to do about nothing for the most part.
Right. And, you know, one thing that you can be sure of is every year at this time, maybe starting December 1st, you're going to have some kind of episode of what I call the Christmas Wars, and that is the clash between our secular society that does try to scrub Christmas of any spiritual or religious overtones, and you'll have the clash between the secular world and those who believe in and promote the traditional Christmas story that God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And so I'm not surprised by things like this because it happens every year. And what I do, Doug, in all of this is I try to focus on what really means the most and make that my purposeful focus at this time of year.
Yeah, and like I said at the beginning, this whole thing with Starbucks, well, it isn't anything new. Like I said, Charles Schulz dealt with this, and I think Fred made the comment, it's kind of the tale of two Schultzes, the current one with Howard Schultz and the old one back in 1965 with Charles Schulz, that when he actually wrote the Charlie Brown Christmas story, he put in what we played. Well, we haven't played it. Do you want to play this segment for me on Linus's little monologue? Do you have it up for us, Jackson? It's the next one. Okay. Yeah. So there was one episode or particular piece of the Christmas story that Charles Schulz wrote into the whole overall theme of it, and it created a great deal of controversy with the, I think it was at that point in time, CBS, the network, and whether they wanted to play it or not. Do you have it up? Okay, go ahead.
I do. Actually, you caught a lightsaber noise there because YouTube has converted. Listen to this.
Okay, that's YouTube?
That's YouTube. Anyway, you're just to the blame now, I got it.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Linus is walking to the center stage. Lights up on him.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Linus walking back over to Charlie.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
And so that little piece of the episode, probably, I think it said it was 53 seconds, created all kinds of controversy with the studio and the executives that they felt that that needed to be removed from the show and that there would be too many people that would find it not appropriate for the whole Charlie Brown Christmas story.
Well, yeah, and so things like that happen all the time, and they're, you know, Jesus is no stranger to controversy. Christmas is no stranger to controversy. But the reason that we have that holiday, we can deny it, we can look for alternatives, but the reason that we have a Christmas holiday is because Christ was born. And to try to deny that or try to avoid that is always going to be a dead end.
Yeah, and Charles Schulz had that same belief, so he stood up against the executives and said, it stays in or I pull out of the project completely. And that that particular portion of it pretty much made the entire film or short, and it's become one of those classic Christmas icons that continues today. All the way up, I think ABC now has the rights through this year to continue to air it, and it's aired for the last 50 years straight. And the executives were totally blown away because they thought they were going to show it once and just put it away because nobody was going to like it. And the exact opposite came out of it. And I think a lot of that is because that particular scene, the truth comes out, people like to hear the real story.
Well, people instinctively know that Christmas has origins, and those origins are how God has worked in history and in humanity. And so what I've always loved is the beautiful simplicity of the Christmas story that really is timeless. And from what I've read and gathered, Charles Schulz, that you mentioned, was a devout believer in Jesus Christ. Yep. And took his skill, his animation and cartoon skills to communicate that timeless truth.
Yeah, and that is the case. He was very much a religious man and believed it and believed that that was the central theme of the whole Christmas story. The executives were expecting kind of a humorous story, comedy related to the Charlie Brown comic strip, and the guys actually thought that they had just absolutely ruined the whole comic strip by presenting that particular story on TV, and it had the exact opposite effect. And I think the controversy, like I said, is always there, but the real story is what really gets to people.
Yeah, you can't avoid that aspect. And so it is true that you do generate sometimes controversy. We see the political correctness of our age in that Christmas is not mentioned. Instead, it's the winter holiday season. You know, it really is foolish when you think about it, because the plain and simple fact is that God became man, our Emmanuel, and dwelt among us for the express purpose of bringing to us the good news of salvation. And for that reason, it has a timeless quality, and in the end, truth always wins out. And I think some of the controversy is hyped up and man-made. The singing competition, The Voice, just had their finalists singing Christmas carols. That was part of their final routine. And three out of the four sang very traditional, very biblical Christmas carols that have been around for decades and decades. Mm-hmm. And so this has a timeless quality that will bless people's hearts and lives. I'm glad for that.
Yeah. I was actually looking at some of the listings on what the top 10 Christmas songs were for 2015. And one of them is a remake of the Beatles, It's a Wonderful Christmas, or whatever that particular one was. And then Mariah Carey, I guess, has been kind of number one for a number of years. Most of them in their, at least this particular top 20 list, there was none that you would call traditional biblical Christmas songs. Most of them were the typical, you know.
Well, it's
more
a
Christmas Santa Claus ish.
Yeah, feel good
white Christmas,
feel good kind of Christmas,
right.
And people every year struggle and go to great lengths, not to mention expense, to try to create this atmosphere that they remember growing up with, and talking about the Christmas spirit. But the real Christmas spirit is the spirit of Christ, and it isn't the spirit of the malls and other commercialized ventures that are promoted at this time of year. And so it does say something about the human heart, I believe, Doug, that people are looking for something that has real meaning.
Right. And it's not the materialism aspect of it that they're looking for. And, you know, I think if you look back in, at least in the entertainment industry, with regards to the different movies that have made kind of are the classics, you can see that there's always that battle, that controversy, that fight between materialism and the real story. And when we come back from these commercials, we'll get into a little more of that. We'll be right back.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem, born.
More of Solomon on Blast here on Power Talk 1210. And for our special kind of pre-Christmas show, we've got Pastor Harold Warner here, who's been kind enough to join us in the past for pre-Christmas shows and Easter. And one of the things that, you know, when you start looking at the culture and the whole influence the culture has on Christmas, what I was the story by Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
So we go from, you know, a tale of two Schultzes to the tale of two Charleses here, Charles Schultz to Charles Dickens, because he was the one that wrote The Tale of Two Cities. But he wrote that and published that book actually on this day, December 19th, back in 1843. So it's been 172 years as of today that book, from when that book was first printed, and it's never been out of print since that time. So it's a story, again, about Christmas, but as you know, having most people would know, it's Ebenezer Scrooge is kind of the main character, and he has that whole attitude towards the phrase "bah humbug" and Christmas, and by the end of the movie, of course, he ends up with the Christmas spirit. So that whole story, the controversy, the materialism aspect of Christmas was around even back then when he wrote that story.
Yeah, and I don't want to, maybe I should clarify one thing when I talk about that there is a controversy between a secularized version of Christmas and the beautiful biblical account of Christmas. I don't want to imply that some of these other entertaining facets, whether it be books or certain films, that they're wrong or that they're evil. Not at all. I'm still waiting for my Red Rider BB gun, but...
Is that what you're hoping for under yeah, the Christmas tree this
underneath
year?
Underneath the Christmas tree. So I'm not saying it's they're evil, but they shouldn't ever overshadow the basic truth of why we have Christmas at all.
Oh, I agree completely. And it's interesting, though, that the culture in trying to tell the Christmas story from the aspect of things like A Christmas Carol and everything else, you can't avoid, they can't avoid really getting to the spirit of the true Christmas story.
Yes.
And that really is what A Christmas Carol is about. When you kind of look at the history of it at that point in time in London, the traditions of Christmas were kind of changing. Father Christmas was kind of the main character at that point in time. That same year in 1843, Christmas cards first came out. So Charles Dickens was looking at and dealing with addressing the changes in the traditions and the culture that were happening at that time frame. But in the end, the real story that keeps getting told is in that Christmas Carol.
That always will bleed through because you can't escape it. There are a lot of things associated with Christmas that are traditions. Those traditions aren't wrong. They're not evil. I participate in numbers of them. But if you look at all of those things, they have roots, they have beginnings. The whole practice of the giving of gifts at Christmas time has their origins in the wise men that visited the Christ child. And the Bible says they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so our traditions surrounding Christmas have their origins and their inspiration in the Bible story.
Yeah, so as Christians, we really can't escape our cultural responsibility of celebrating Christmas.
No, not
although I tried. Yeah. I tried this year. I told my wife I wasn't going to put up the tree. I wasn't going to put pagan idols in the house during Christmas. It didn't work, I tell you. It just didn't work.
Yeah, and so the challenge, especially when you've been married for over four decades, what do you buy your wife?
You can't just say it's a pagan holiday and I'm not going to participate, right?
So giving money seems to work very well for me. But, you know, one of the things, Doug, that really inspired me about Christmas is a number of years ago, I remember I was in Cape Cod in Massachusetts, and it was in December, and I was sitting on the platform of a church, and I had such a distinct impression, and that is to tell the story, that there is power in telling the story. And so I've made it my commitment for the last 7 years to diligently, with inspiration and relevancy, tell the timeless story of Christmas, and to do so via dramatic readings, through dramatic reenactments, through music. This will be the seventh year, I believe, that I've done it. And each year, taking three characters or concepts that are very much part of the Christmas story and telling them, elaborating upon them, and how it affects our lives today and why it should matter.
And that's really what all of the entertainment industry tries to do. Is their goal may be a little different in terms of making money and the materialistic side of it. They're just trying to tell a story. And I think no matter what medium it comes through, the core message that we're talking about has to come out of that. And whether it's Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, or even It's a Wonderful Life, right, that another one of those iconic Christmas stories, those really, in the end, come out telling the real Christmas story at the heart of them.
Yeah, they just take a different road, right, to reach people's hearts.
Yeah.
And It's a Wonderful Life, the hope that our lives can be changed and we can be saved from ourselves, to Charles Dickens' Christmas story of the transformation and Ebenezer Scrooge. They're all reaching into people's hearts and touching on things that never, ever change. The human desire to want to be different and to have a hope, not only in this life, but a hope beyond the grave. And that's why the announcement that the angels made to the shepherds in the Gospel of Luke, behold, I bring you great tidings, good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The promise was that there is a Savior, Christ the Lord, and he is able to save us from our sins, to save us from ourselves, and however dark or difficult things might be in life, to bring a genuine hope.
And I think that's why the movies like A Wonderful Life continue to be so classic,
sure,
in that aspect. And I would think that when you look at when that movie was made, I think it was back in 1947, the whole premise at the beginning was, here's a guy that's going to commit suicide because of some money that got lost. And I would think for that time frame, that kind of a topic and addressing that kind of a topic was probably pretty controversial. But it still tells the real story surrounding that aspect of Hollywood looking to make a film to obviously make money, but also to tell another story about,
yeah, it had a script of a man who's desperate, feels like he has no future and has no hope. And in the end, he discovers that. And while there's not a preacher in the background declaring the gospel or anything, right, the implication that is very obvious is that that hope came to him because God reached down and touched his life. And I think that's the thing that really stirs me and encourages me, is that the Christmas story is all about God intervening into the affairs of humanity. And people can debate about various things, but the truth is, in every individual that is a Christian, God has done that. He has reached, right, down into their hearts. He's intervened into their lives. And Christ has been born anew in their hearts and in their lives.
Yeah, and I think if we just look at the culture, sometimes maybe Christians can be a little bit too oversensitive to the aspect that, you know, while the culture is trying to secularize Christmas, they're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. But when we really start looking at it, it's out there. The message is out there. It's not. And it's been out there for a long time when you consider the fact that the Christmas Carol, the movie itself, the original one, was written in or debuted in 1938. Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life was 1947. And these are classics that get replayed every single year. So this is something that it's out there. And I think maybe from a sensitivity point of view, we Christians can be a little too overly sensitive when the message is out there.
Yeah.
Focus on the little things, like you said, that don't have a lot of importance.
My conviction is there's still power in the story and in telling it.
Absolutely. We'll come back with more of this discussion right after these commercial breaks here on Power Talk 1210.
Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of
All right, we're back with Power, with Solomon on Blast here on Power Talk 1210, continuing our discussion of the real Christmas story. And one of the things I see, you know, it is a national holiday. Christmas is a national holiday in this country, so it's kind of hard to really make out that everything's negative regarding Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't... You know, personally, I was in part of the script writing for this year's writing. One of the things that I felt is there's a scripture that says, they that have sat in darkness have seen a great light. It's talking about the coming of Christ, the hope that that brings. And I just had a sense that, especially in our world today, when you look at many of the problems for which people don't have answers for, that the Christmas story is more needed and more relevant today than maybe in any time in recent history.
And like I said, maybe that's why people are drawn to something like the Star Wars movies, because there is that battle, the epic battle between good and evil, light and dark. And we see that, like you say, more and more in the society today. And I don't think there's a conspiracy behind every secular aspect of Christmas that sometimes we want to try and point out when things don't quite line up with what we believe the world should be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the philosophies I've always tried to have, you know, I've been pastor of the same church now for 43 years, is not to die on the wrong battlefield. In other words, I'm going to try to use wisdom, like Solomon said, to choose what battlefield is of genuine importance to people's lives.
Yeah, because, I mean, when one of these other classics, The Grinch, who stole mm-hmm. Christmas, right? Same kind of thing. You know, he was pretty negative about the whole Christmas thing in Whoville. But in the end, he came around just as well as all the rest of the stories. So,
I have a friend in Killeen, Texas. I was just there. And for their Christmas play, they did a Christian adaptation of The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And their first showing on last Saturday night, they had 600 people there.
Wow.
So you can take some of those basic, unchanging realities of good versus evil and people looking for hope and transformation, and you can tell it in a variety of different ways.
Yeah, and so those are classics because they continue to tell that story in spite of the fact that maybe they weren't originally written from that particular aspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, we do have you here on Easter and Christmas, and I was kind of thinking about it. You know, what is the real contrast and even the comparison between the Easter story and the Christmas story? I think we see a lot of the sacrifice in the Easter story, but I think that was also there in the Christmas story.
The two are joined at the hip, Doug. You can't separate Christmas from Easter. Now, Christmas, because we're dealing with the Christ child, the baby seems very unintimidating to us. Right. We can go along with certain things, but that child grew up to become a savior, to become the Lamb of God who died on a cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And so the Christmas story is the beginning. And then Easter is the continuation of that same story. The word that's used in the religious world for Christmas is the word Advent. Mm-hmm. And the word Advent means coming. And the history of that is that Jesus's coming fulfilled dozens and dozens of prophecies that were spoken concerning Messiah who would come. I think we have time, but I was just reading about something from Dr. Peter Stoner, and it was talking about statistical probability. Uh-huh. And the statistical probability of one man fulfilling eight of those very specific prophecies was 1 in 10 to the 17th power. So you add 17 zeros to the end of it, and Jesus fulfilled 61 of those prophecies. And so Advent, the promise of his coming, he's came, but we're also holding to the promise that all the prophecies about his second coming will also come true.
Absolutely. And, you know, with regard to the Advent, I happened to be in Starbucks yesterday. Not that I drink coffee, but I was with Fred. And so, of course, I had to be in Starbucks because Fred does drink coffee and he drinks it at Starbucks. So we were in Starbucks yesterday and they have an Advent calendar right there on the shelf. You can buy a gift and talks about Advent, gives you all the little ornaments and everything. So the whole controversy behind Starbucks and being anti-Christ and anti-Christian is even more false when you just look at within the store itself.
Right. Absolutely.
So there's a lot of that controversy, I think, generated, and I think in this particular case by the guy that put his YouTube video out there, he's probably making some good money off of the ads and the hits that he's getting on his YouTube approach. So I have to say, well, maybe he's not so pure in terms of his methods and his motives behind creating this controversy.
My conviction, I keep coming back to it, is that my role, and I do take great delight in doing it, is to be able, year after year, to tell that same story, but with a different twist, from a different angle, to inspire and to challenge and motivate people.
So are we going to get a little bit of a sneak preview on the story? Because I found out that I am going to be in the play this year. I was asked to play the part of Pontius Pilate. Now, I don't know whether that's better or worse than Charlie Brown in the Christmas story. You know, I think I'd rather take the Charlie Brown part than Pontius Pilate.
Yeah, well, every year I try to take and focus on a new character or concept. And so this year I've entitled it The Many Moods of Christmas. And there are many, but focusing on three in particular. One is John the Baptist, who a lot of people don't associate with Christmas, but he was the forerunner, and so his is the mood of repentance. And then I'm going to focus on the inn, not the innkeeper, because the Bible doesn't say there was an innkeeper, but the inn as reflecting the mood of rejection. That Christ's life, he was no stranger to rejection. That right. mood followed throughout his entire life. And the final mood is Mary and her song, which is one of great rejoicing and great celebration. And so those three moods will be plenty to occupy the time allotted to us. But those are the ones that really were upon my heart and are part of the moods of the Christmas story.
So that's the third point there with Mary and her song and everything brings up the question of, is there a special Christmas blessing to those that celebrate Christmas well? The last line of A Christmas Carol, he wrote, it always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. If any man alive possess the knowledge, may that be truly said of us and all of us. And so as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. So is there a special blessing on those that keep Christmas well? I think of the three wise men. They kept Christmas well. They followed their hearts and what they knew and understood, and the shepherds. So I think, is there a special blessing there when you do follow Christmas well?
Well, I believe that there is a real blessing, but it's not in just the Christmas holiday. That real blessing is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so if I know him and if I discover him and open my heart to him, then there is genuine blessing communicated to our lives today. Just like Mary, blessed are you. And so, yes, there is a blessing.
Yeah. So we've got a little bit of a preview. When are you going to do it?
Wednesday night. Service starts at 7 o'clock.
December 23rd.
December 23rd.
Okay. So if you want.
And it's our last, we call ourselves the last minute productions because it seems like it all comes together at the last minute.
Always. And location?
2950 East Irvington Road.
All right. So you don't want to miss that, the annual Christmas reading there at the Door Church with Pastor Harold Warner. We really appreciate you being with us this week and giving Fred a bit of a break. So until next week, keep thinking wisely.